We have been looking at Galatians. Galatians is a chapter in which Paul comes into this group. He writes to this group that he has seen come to the Lord. He's preached the gospel to them. They have come to know Jesus. And he's heard that they're adding things to their faith. They're allowing other teachers, other people to come in and tell them that you must do this thing, you must do that thing. Now, in the context of the Galatians, we know that it was mostly toward the keeping Jewish customs and laws and things like that, that that was part of what it meant to be saved. And, of course, Paul was, you know, what? You know, have you so easily forgotten? Have you so easily gone away from what I have just told you? And we've been seeing in these chapters how he's taken the gospel again and again and come back to what it really means to belong to Jesus, to believe in him, and to follow him, is that he has done it all for us. And that this salvation is a gift. And what he also wants to tell us is that as we grow in the Lord, after we've come to know him, that is still a gift. It is still given to us to continue to walk in this path. We cannot earn these things. So, chapter 5 and 6, we're not going to look at both of those, we're just going to look at chapter 5 part of it today. But it comes into the implications of this gospel. Implications of what Paul has been saying to the people. Christian freedom. Christian freedom is not a license to keep on sinning or just do what we want. I'm a Christian, I'm going to be forgiven, so no worries. To receive salvation is to begin the process. Salvation is an ongoing thing. There is a beginning where God saves us, brings us out of darkness into this marvelous light. And then we walk with him until the culmination, the full fruit of salvation comes when the kingdom of God comes upon this earth. The yoke of the law, the yoke of doing things to earn credit, to earn salvation, to earn our place in heaven, has been removed. But what is there? It's the cross. The cross has been accepted. And if we remember back in Galatians 2, it says, we have been crucified with Christ. We often talk about Jesus was crucified for us. And we know that, his death on the cross. But when we accept him, when we receive him into our heart, what Jesus said and what Paul is saying is, we then were crucified with him. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Life then becomes a rhythm of death and resurrection, a cycle of death and resurrection. Because when we see today again the word crucified or crucify, it's a continual thing. Jesus says, pick up your cross daily. We daily need to crucify the flesh. We daily need to take on what Jesus has done in our lives. We will see that the only way to use this freedom that God has given us is by self-investment in the lives of others for Christ's sake. By ongoing dying to those things to which Christ died. And by the continuous production of the fruit of his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, as we approach your word, I just pray, Lord, that You will speak by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would touch my mouth and heart as we share, Lord. I don't want to say anything that is not of you or that is not in your word. Lord, I pray that as we seek your word, that we will be sincere and desire to apply it to our heart and to say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I want to follow your way. I want your word to speak to me. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is true biblical freedom? Well, the first verse in this, and I'm just going to go section by section, says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. So he set you free for freedom. And then he says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. This is almost a summary of the whole book, along with Galatians 2:20. He also says we need to stand firm in it, not lose this freedom. That doesn't mean that we can lose our salvation, but it means that we can lose our freedom to which Christ gave us, our freedom from enslavement to fear, to law, to working things out for ourselves to be better. For that type of living is really slavery. When we are enslaved to things that will help us do something or gain something, we are under that bondage. And Paul says when Jesus came to set us free, he set us free from those things. Do you sometimes carry burdens or feelings of guilt, of anxiety, of insecurity, of pride, of touchiness, disappointment, quick to anger? Do you carry these burdens? Do you carry these things in your lives? You're trying to carry your own burden. You're trying to carry what Jesus has set you free from and what he desires for you to walk free in or from. And as we will see, we'll learn more about what that means to walk and to live. We are free from the guilt of our sin, and we are now bold before God. I kind of know sometimes when people are struggling with God because they tend to isolate themselves from other people and from other Christians. They don't want to come into that presence. And it's quite easy as we stand aside from everything and people and stuff to become critical, to become, really introspective and thinking of our own self. And always thinking of, well, what am I going through? Rather than giving that up to God and saying, God, you work in this through me and in me. You know, if you and I were to go and interview both Christians and non-Christians, like, you know, man on the street, and say, tell us what the first word that comes into your mind when I mention Christianity. Think right now what came into your mind. Did anyone, and you can raise your hand on this, did anyone come up with the word freedom? Nobody. Poor Paul. I feel for him. He says, for freedom, Christ to set us free. Freedom. I think some people might say bondage. having to follow rules, being good, and lots of lists of things we cannot do. Maybe not, you wouldn't. You'd say, Jesus died for me, Jesus loves me, all that sort of stuff. But is it for freedom? And this, Galatians, is like, remember I said, the Magna Carta, the writ of freedom in Christ. And what did Jesus say? I've come to set you free, and set you free indeed. And indeed, that word there meant truly, truly, really, really, bottom line stuff. No little, you know, sidebars. Nothing else. I've come to set you free. And we should all be saying, whoa. And the ones in America back 200 years ago or 300, the slaves, true slaves, they sang about freedom all the time. And it's interesting that the early gospel songs, black spirituals and stuff like that, was about Jesus setting us free, and they were still slaves and died as slaves. But God had freed them inside. Inside. Don't you long for that? That's what Paul said. He longed for it. He longed for his people, the people who he cried for and prayed for and spoke to and discussed things with until late into the night. He desired to see them free. So then he goes on to say this in verse 13 to 15. For you were called to freedom. Another freedom. You were called to it, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Wow. That's heavy. He says you were called to freedom. When God called you, elected you, chose you to be part of His community, His kingdom, His son or daughter, it says He also called us to freedom. He said, you do not have to slave anymore. You do not have to work your fingers to the bone for promotion in my kingdom, for acceptance in my kingdom, for love in my kingdom. We were freed from the law as a way of earning merit from God. But we were not called to live in just any way that we please. He has redeemed us, and He is the one that has the wisdom to know how we are to change, what we are to change, and how He wants to do that, and to demand that we live in the way that He wants, because He owns us. There's a couple of seats up here. We won't watch as you walk down the aisle. Everybody turn your head away. So, But all of that should come from the love within our heart toward our God and our Father. If Jesus has freed us, why would you and I even want to indulge in the sin nature? Why would we even want to follow that? For instance, let's take lying. If I lie, as a Christian, I don't fear that He will cast me off. I shouldn't, because He loves me, and it will not condemn me. But let's ask this question. Why do I even want to lie? Actually, somewhere inside of us is a little person who must have approval. We must have power. We must have comfort. We must have success in order to have joy and worth. So that little person will lie to get or to keep that, to get approval, to keep that approval, to look okay. What we have is what's called a functional savior. The things that we hang on to and do that stroke our ego and stroke the things inside of us that we must have because we haven't really given it all over to Jesus. We don't really find the full comfort, full approval, full love, full acceptance in Jesus. Now, can I tell you that that's going to be a struggle and a walk and a journey for us all our lives? We don't reach a plateau and say, I've climbed the mountain, I'm now here, wonderful, nothing bothers me. Well, you and I are human, we have the flesh, we have things going on in our lives. We'll never get to that point. And we should never expect anyone else to get to that point. But it should be our desire and our yearning in our heart to say, Jesus, I want that full acceptance, love, comfort, all to come from you. Not these other things I need, I think I need, and that's going to help me in life and fulfill me in some way. So freedom, let's get back to freedom. Freedom does not mean anarchy. Paul is not saying you're free to do anything you will. And you know what? Sometimes I've met Christians say, oh yeah, I can say anything I want. You know, oh, too bad that person got hurt. You know, God forgives me. Oh, they'll get over it. No. It's not too cool. There are limits to this freedom. You see, sin remains in us. But it does not have to reign in us. Sin remains in us until we go to heaven, until we are with Jesus. It remains in us because we still have the sinful nature, the flesh. And flesh doesn't mean just like my hands and my pumping heart and all that kind of stuff. It means my desires, my the things that I want, the things I'm striving for, the things that I have to have. That's still there. But it doesn't have to reign. It doesn't have to reign. It doesn't have to control us. See, our freedom, because what did it say in the scripture there? We are free to love our neighbor as ourself. So the freedom that Jesus gives us has limits. There's this certain kind of freedom. He says, I've set you free to love because you know what? Your sinful nature doesn't want to love. Your sinful nature doesn't want to sacrifice for your neighbor. Your sinful nature doesn't want to forgive people. Your sinful nature doesn't want to be around people that rub you up the wrong way. Your sinful nature doesn't want things that Your sinful nature wants to cuddle itself, wants to make sure that my flesh is stroked and that I feel okay. But Jesus says, no, we have the freedom to love each other and responsibility to others in love. When we gather in worship, we have the freedom, you guys have the freedom to come here or not. You have the freedom to come 15 minutes early, right at 10, 10:30, show up at tea time, cup of tea time. You have the freedom to do whatever you want. If you say that you'll be on the worship team, you actually have the freedom not even to show up. Why is Steve going down into his chair like But Jesus says, I've set you free to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're part of the worship team, and that person who's supposed to be singing with you doesn't show up, how do you feel? If you had prepared a Friday night, a Wednesday night, or whenever you have some sort of gathering, if you have prepared for a talk or prepared to give people things or to start off the thing, you know, to share and all that, and nobody turns up at that 7:30 time, and maybe by 10 to 8, or if it's 4 in the afternoon, maybe by 4:30, you have the freedom to do that. You're not going to be condemned. What is it? What is that to the person that has stood, that's standing there and has prepared and is wanting to share their heart? See? So Jesus says, your freedom is constrained by love. Your freedom is constrained by love. Love of others. Respect and honor of others. And responsibility to others in our family. God calls to us with that freedom that carries the obligation to our neighbor as well as to God. That freedom is there to invest ourselves in the community of faith. You know, when someone's working as a team, when a group of people are working as a team, or there's a group that's doing something, a person who has given their life and soul or their hard-earned time to that group and is there and is committed and all that, and they come and they say, look, I've got some things to share, some things that I've seen that need to maybe change or whatever. I think you and I would be most happy to hear that person because you see they're committed and they're involved. But oftentimes, people who are on the edge and who don't ever get involved are the ones that have the most criticism. You know, you find that at workplaces. You find that all over the world. If I spoke to any pastor on this planet, they would say this. You know? There's a pastor in our midst, right, Patrick? He just shook his head. I've worked with many pastors throughout this country, and I know that the heartache that they have a lot of time is criticism from people, and a lot from people who are not very much involved and who see things but don't want to be part of the healing process and the sharing process, or maybe who don't even realize what the behind the scenes stuff is, you know, what's going on, what's already happened here. I do want to say, I want to say something here throughout our church here. I'm just really pleased. There's so much going on behind the scenes that a lot of you don't know. You know, I've seen people and heard, people have come to me and said, look, I've been sharing with this person and I just see that an answer to prayer. And we don't stand up here and brag about that. And they don't want to stand up and say anything about that. But it's happening. And someone else over here can say, oh, I don't see anything happening. Well, they're not involved in that. God is at work. God is always at work. Sometimes we're a bit stubborn, and we're a bit shut off from God, but He's always at work. And we should not judge God's work. He knows how. He knows how to work in our lives. So He calls us to invest ourselves in the community of faith, and He calls us to put up with the sandpaper of fellow brothers and sisters, wearisome ways, stubborn ways, against the rough edges of our own unholiness. He calls us to put up with the sandpaper of our stubborn ways, of our unholiness, as we rub up against others' unholiness. He says, that's what I've set you free for. And in the midst of this, in the midst of all this, we prepare our hearts for worship. In the midst of this lovely family that I stand here with the privilege each week of looking out and seeing your faces, I would like to see a few more smiles sometimes. And to be able to speak to you during the week and to be able to pray for you. And to know the genuine concerns that each one of you have and the difficulties that you go through in your lives. And to know that God is on the throne, that He is there and He has set you free and He is working in your life. So then what does Paul go on to say? But I say, he says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to one another, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We'll touch on that in a moment. But, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Nothing is against these things. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And that word, have crucified, in the Greek is continue to crucify. And then if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What Paul says here is there's a battle. It's like in a boxing ring, and the guy comes out and he says, okay, over in this corner, we have the flesh with sinful desires. And then over in this corner is the Holy Spirit with the desires for holiness in your life. And he says, and here you are, standing in the middle of this boxing ring, and these two you are looking at. Which do I follow? And this is your whole life every day. Jesus said, carry your cross every day. Whatever's going on, whatever desires you have, control, comfort, approval, all these sorts of things in your life, you're going to be tempted every day. And so what does Paul say? You've been freed. Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, has freed you to choose to follow and to live and to walk by the Holy Spirit. We have a conflict that we face every day in our lives. It's a civil war going on. At any point in our lives, at any moment of our day, we will live by one or we'll live by the other. It's a competition. And it's not always a desire, these sinful natures, it's not always a desire for bad things. Yeah, I don't think any of you go around, okay, I'm going to commit adultery, or I'm going to murder somebody, or something like that. But it can be an over-desire for something good which takes its place as our God. Things we must have in our lives, like a child, a house, a marriage, a promotion, approval. See, I want to say to you, any of those things, if they take the desire away from the Holy Spirit, if you are unhappy, you are sorrowful, if your life stops, if you cannot even go on because you have to have one of those things, then you're not following God. I am catering to the desires of my flesh. And I'm saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't want to give my trust in you or my hope in you. I will not wait for you. I will not honor you. I will not put you as first in my life because I want this. And until I have that, you're not going to have me. Do you or I want to play with God like that? I don't think so. I don't think so. Look, I know that each one of these things are difficult. Most of you know that I didn't get married until I was 38. I didn't have my daughter till I was 42. It was darn hard to wait. Wasn't tiptoe through the tulips. And when my husband died and I just had Lydia, do you know how hard as a mother it has been for me to help that rope from me to my daughter to get longer? You know? I can smile about it, but I tell you, I've had a lot of tears. I can't even. And most of you wouldn't understand it unless you're a mom. Every one of these things. Have you desired a job so much? A certain promotion so much? Have you desired all these things? They become this fulfillment of these fleshly desires if it becomes a functional savior that I must have this. In order to be happy, in order to be comfortable, in order to be at peace. This is what Paul's saying. And do you know why? He says this with tears. He says this with very strong language. Galatians is his strongest letter. Because he has given his whole life and he will die for preaching this gospel. That we are free. To be led by the Spirit. And what are the things he says is our fleshly desires? He talks about sexual sins. And this world, when you look around it, gosh, it is so full of sexual sins. You know, sometimes, I mean, growing up as old as I am, you know, like I look back and think, well, okay, that was never showed on TV. And that was never in the movies and stuff. We've got it all hanging out now. Okay. But I do want to tell you, back in the time when Paul was writing, back in the time of Rome and stuff, their sexual stuff surpassed ours. We think we're in the free age. Well, you know, in some areas of the world, it's not necessarily, maybe it's more out there, but there was still stuff going on then. All sorts of stuff. And then it talks about idolatry. So it talks about religion, things that can pull us in terms of religion, idolatry and sorcery. And then 8 words that describe how this sinful nature destroys relationships. And what are those? Attitudes of selfish ambition. Attitudes of envy, of jealousy, of hatred or hostility. And what are the results of those attitudes in our lives? Discord, fits of rage, dissensions and divisions, and then factions or warring groups. So a giving in to this fleshly desire of ambition and jealousy, then what happens is that drives a wedge between people. And what happens when it drives a wedge between people? You start then having warring groups. This group against that one. You have cliques and all that. Who was Paul writing to? Those terrible pagans? No. Who is he writing to in this scripture, in this letter? Us. Christians. He's writing to Christians. May we come before God and may we say, Lord, search me. Search my heart. Where do I stand in this? Am I desiring to walk and to live by the Holy Spirit? So as we finish, we look at the Holy Spirit. And there's two things here. Paul says, we are led by the Holy Spirit. And he says, we are to walk by the Holy Spirit. One of them is passive. One of them is active. The Spirit leads us. He goes before us. And we are to walk. We are to follow Him. We're to pick up our feet. And instead of standing in the middle of the ring and going over toward this side, we are to walk, and says the Spirit is leading me. And so I want to walk with the Spirit. And it says, some of you might see this little tree I have here. Cute little tree, isn't it? I've wanted to paint it. I've had it for a long time, and I've wanted to paint it, and I haven't ever gotten around to it. But sometimes we as Christians, we kind of want to be like Christmas trees. And so we look at these good things we can do, like read the Bible and go to meetings and all that, and we put them on us like this. See? Ooh, read the Bible. Okay. And then we put another one on that, you know, another little ornament says, I'm a good person, I brought tea, supper, for Eminem. And then, oh, here's another one. Here's another one. I gave a cake to my dear friend. And then another one is, this week I led worship. And I put all of these things on. I have another one here. It's an angel. See, what Paul is saying is none of these will survive. They're dead. They're just ornaments. They're things we put on. But what's Paul saying in here? He says, you know, all those things that I was saying about don't do these things, and if you keep practicing them, see, the deal there is, if you keep practicing them, there's no room for you in the kingdom of God. See? There's a big doubt as to whether you're born again if you keep practicing. It doesn't mean that He doesn't forgive us. Of course He does. But I'm talking about our lives. I'm talking about how we want to grow. And when we live by the Spirit, then real fruit comes. See? And you don't put it on. I cannot. I know that my good friends, Aaron and Chloe, love strawberry plants. Sometimes strawberry plants don't love them. But but there's no way that with their little plant they can go to their next door neighbor who has a plant and take a strawberry and paste it on and expect for it to be edible or to grow more ruby-like, you know. But all of these fruit, the fruit that comes, and we could spend weeks on the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit that comes from within. It comes from within. It comes from the Spirit of God who works in us. And the fruit comes all together. You know, when you in the spring, when you see the little buds coming, as you stand back and look, you see that all over the tree there's little buds coming. Some come out a little bit more than others, and some over here, but it's all going. The sap comes up and goes to all of these branches. And so Paul uses this metaphor. And he's fruit that comes in your life comes from the Holy Spirit. And so, again, he comes back. You have the freedom. You've been given freedom to choose the way of the Holy Spirit. And just briefly, love is one of them, not for what a person brings you. That's the kind of love. What's the joy? It's a delight in God despite the circumstances. Despite the circumstances. Peace, confidence, and rest in the wisdom and control of God, even though you don't have all those things that your flesh desires. Patience, facing trouble without blowing up or hitting out. Kindness, able to serve others practically, not for what I get out of it. Goodness is integrity, not hypocritical. You're the same person in every situation, not different in this one and different in that one. Faithfulness, you're reliable and true to your word. You know, we can tell sometimes if a person is unstable a little bit. They're up and down, up and down, up and down all the time. You never know what day is going to be what, you know. And God wants to change that. He wants to work in our lives. Gentleness, like humility, not pushing your own way. And self-control, not being impulsive or uncontrolled, but being led by God. So here we go. That's it. We belong to Christ. We've been crucified by Christ. We have crucified the flesh. And you know what? Some people say, well, that sounds like a real super Christian. You know, real fanatical. I just want to be a normal Christian. Can I tell you that what the scriptures say is what a normal Christian is? So when we look at it, we can say we're sub-Christians. When we want to get out of things, when we say, hey, it's okay, cool, you know, Jesus saved me. I can just move along here. It's okay. Saved by grace, all that. Paul says, yes. But he's given you the Holy Spirit. And we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're to walk by the Holy Spirit. That is the normal Christian life. It's not being fanatic. It's not being overzealous. It's not being, oh, I don't want to be around them. You know? That's the normal Christian life that Jesus wants for us. And it comes through being on our knees in the presence of God and saying, God, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. And I want my life to reflect that love. And the freedom that you've given me to love others. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for these words. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. None of us can do what you desire, Lord. In our own flesh. It's sinful nature. But oh Father, may we love you so much. May we understand the sacrifice that you gave. That our hearts will be overflowing with love for you. And that in that we will understand what this true freedom means. As you said, to love one another. As we love ourselves. Father, thank you for your word and for your enablement by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.